Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Been another shooting today. 5 dead, 8 injured. Gunman. An alleged gunman. Gotta say alleged, right? We don't want him to come sue us. Esteban Santiago, an Iraq war vet, who said he'd been hearing voices in his head that were telling him to fight for ISIS. All this took place today in Fort Lauderdale at the airport there. 5 people again were killed. 8 have been wounded, some of them fighting for their life. It happened at a baggage claim area inside of there. And now we start to dissect what took place. Was this mental illness? Don't know. It's possible. I think when you're hearing voices, I think if you're hearing voices, unless you are in a home that you believe is haunted, right? Like if you hear voices outside of that home, then you probably got some issues. If inside the home, people have told you it's haunted and they hear it as well, then maybe that's something. But I don't think this is what that was. He went to the FBI last month, apparently, and he told the FBI that he's hearing voices that were telling him that he should fight for ISIS. Of course, people are tweeting at me. Nobody said he fought in Iraq. He was just deployed. Says at John Plitz. I screwed up your name. Apologize for that. You tweet at Chad Benson Show. One texter writes in, at Chad Benson, hashtag Florida. Shooting, the single biggest reason that Fort Lauderdale happened is that VA failed this vet and the American people. Now, his brother and them had said he had struggled. He had been having some mental issues. While he was not diagnosed with PTSD, there were some issues that he was having mentally. Bad dreams, flashbacks. And he had gotten very distant from people. His father died 6 months after he came home. He had a child. And a girlfriend, again, we don't know all the specifics of everything. You know that at one time he was investigated for child pornography. He was also domestic violence. He was accused of domestic violence. So, there, again, we'll piece together the puzzle over the next umpteen, you know, weeks and so, and really over the next 48 hours to try to get a good, clear look at what it is. But he's going to be the one that tells us, right? Because unlike many of these episodes, he survived, gave himself up. What they're saying was he flew from Alaska to Minneapolis, got on a plane there, flew. By the way, he had the gun with him, not on his person. It was checked. He then got to Fort Lauderdale, and apparently, you know, from there, you know, he went into the bathroom, then came out of the bathroom, and he randomly shot people that were there. Is this mental illness? I would put it mental illness before ISIS. But, you know, the first thing, when you heard the news today, the first thing that went into everybody's mind is it's got to be terrorism. With the second caveat being what? Probably mental illness. I can't even remember the last time we've had something like this, you know, where you know, somebody's gone postal because they were upset over something. I can't remember. It's been a long time. Thank God for that. But this is the world we live in now. Mental illness is real. Is he mentally ill? Is this a ploy because he was inspired by ISIS? All of those things are going to be answered. Trust me, they're at his house. They're talking to everybody who's come in contact with him over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, and people that are close to him and people that have worked with him in the past or served with him. They're talking to them. They want to know, was this guy influenced by ISIS? They're looking at his computers. They're looking at his girlfriend's computers. They're looking at his mom's computers, his brother and sister. They're looking at everything they possibly can to piece it together. But 5 people lost their lives today. 8 people are wounded, some of them fighting for their lives. It's a horrible situation. Governor Rick Scott showed up quick. And he was on, you know, once again, there front and center to deal with a tragedy Take a listen.
We have five individuals that have lost their life. We still have people fighting for their life in our hospitals. Whoever is responsible will be held accountable to the full extent of the law. So let me repeat this. The state of Florida, the citizens of Florida, law enforcement in this state will not tolerate evil acts. Whoever is responsible will be held accountable to the full extent of the law.
And again, to the full extent of the law. What is that going to be? We don't know. It's all a guessing game right now. Nobody has all the answers. When this first started today, you know, I was watching it and people were flooding out into the runway. And like everything, it was a fluid but chaotic situation. And, you know, we were even, at sometimes it was surreal. Producer Anthony looks at me and goes, look at the airplanes are taking off behind the people who are all on the runway. It was very surreal to watch this. And then they were loading some people up onto airplanes, which was also surreal, on the runway. So all of it was weird, and the whole thing, the way that it was breaking down. But in situations like that, that's what happens. You know, it's been a very, again, it's an ugly situation. We don't know exactly what took place. And too many people are playing political, you know, puppetry with this, trying to get the, you know, to be the first one to fire the salvo that says, this is about, we need more gun control, or no, this is about mental illness, or this could have been an act of terror. We don't know. I haven't heard so much as ISIS coming out claiming this. I haven't heard so much about any of those kind of things. What I do know, though, is, again, we're in a situation where we have issues when it comes to a mass shooting here and potentially mental illness. It's a horrible situation. And again, Florida has to, you know, pick up the pieces. Joining us now from News 96.5 WDBO, who happens to be out there in Fort Lauderdale, headed straight down from Orlando down to Fort Lauderdale, is Tony Marino. Tony, give us a sense of what's going on in and around the airport as we speak.
To see some movement in the airport, not much was going on. Around the airport, it has been just crazy as far as traffic. Major roadways shut down. You know, they were not letting anybody in or out of the airport, obviously. The airport is centrally located to downtown Fort Lauderdale, right off of the highway. So massive delays on the highways getting on and off those exits that are anywhere near the airport. The traffic finally beginning to subside. And we're finally seeing some movement in the airport 7 hours after 26-year-old Esteban Santiago shot and killed five people and injured eight others. They are finally letting some passengers leave the airport. About 30 minutes ago, the Broward County Sheriff's Office letting passengers that have vehicles at the airport finally leave. They opened up the airport exits to let some of those folks out, still not really letting anybody in other than the media. And even the media, we are pretty well cornered off from Terminal 2 where the shooting happened. But they're finally letting some passengers go. People, travelers that don't have vehicles or were waiting for connecting flights or waiting for flights, a lot of those passengers now being bused over to Port Everglades. That's a big cruise terminal here in Fort Lauderdale, and I'm not really sure why they're bringing them over there, but that's what we're seeing now. The FBI just telling us moments ago that they will hold the news conference around 9 p.m. Eastern time, so a little less than an hour from now. Hopefully we'll get some more information from the FBI.
What are you hearing as you talk to other news people and stuff, as you gather information? What are you hearing about anything other than what we already don't know, you know about him? Being an Iraq war vet, saying that he's hearing, you know, voices in his head. You know, what are you hearing that's maybe a little bit different than some of the stuff we're not talking about?
Well, that was one of the latest developments. I told you earlier, his brother said he was having some problems with his girlfriend. It still has not been confirmed. He may or may not have seen a psychiatrist or psychiatrist, get, you know, some counseling, some therapy for his personal problems. But now we are learning that at one point in time he said he was hearing voices in his head and apparently told the FBI about it. So this is going to be an interesting development as time goes on as to you know, whether the FBI had this guy on their radar at one point in time, if there was something that they should have known or should have done, much like the Omar Mateen situation with the Pulse terror attack in Orlando. The most disturbing thing that I heard just a little while ago from some of the folks that have been here on the scene all day is that they say the shooter, Esteban Santiago, was it was obvious that he was aiming for people's heads, trying to shoot people in the head. Yeah.
That's absolutely disturbing. Talking to Tony Marino from News 96.5 WDBO out there in Orlando, who's traveled down to Fort Lauderdale to cover this tonight. You know, Tony, the one thing that I was, you know, shocked about in some ways is the fact that he is alive and he's in custody and then he wasn't shot. Did he give up? Was it who was first on scene? Were there air marshals that were walking through the airport? That's not really been made clear how he was taken into custody.
From every account that I've heard, Chad, he immediately surrendered pretty much before he was even encountered by law enforcement. So you know the details of the crime, that he transported the weapon with him and he transported some ammunition. And then when he retrieved his suitcase, he went into the bathroom, got the weapon out, loaded the weapon, came out, started shooting people. So he had thank God he had a limited amount of ammunition. And it's been confirmed over and over and over by police, by witnesses, that when he ran out of ammunition, he dropped to his knees. He immediately surrendered, which is why he was not shot. Police, for the most part, and I don't know if it was the Broward County Sheriff's Office, if it was air marshals, it was who was first on scene, most likely just Broward County Sheriff deputies. But before they even really encountered the shooter, I'm being told it was about 40 seconds, he put his gun down, dropped to his knees. When police approached him, he then laid down on his stomach, totally surrendered. That's why he was not shot.
Any news on the survivors, how they're doing? You know, that we heard that some of them are fighting for their lives. Does it look like all of them are going to, you know, pull through this?
There has not been an update on the eight injured victims, unfortunately. For folks that may just be tuning in, again, five people dead, eight people injured. We learned from Florida Governor Rick Scott about 2 hours ago that most of the injured people were critically injured, but that is the only update that we've received. I don't know if five or six or seven people were critically injured or all eight were critically injured. Don't know the extent that, you know, if those people were shot once, twice, multiple times. We're hearing the disturbing news that he was trying to shoot people in the head. So, you know, if those people have gunshot wounds to the head, that doesn't look good as far as survival. There has been no update. I've just been told a little while ago the FBI is supposed to give us an update around 9 o'clock Eastern, 9:15. So I don't know if they'll give us an update on the victims, the survivors, but no, we haven't heard anything other than most of the victims were in critical condition.
His name's Tony Marino. He is from News 96.5 WDBO out there in Orlando, covering what was going on today in Fort Lauderdale. We appreciate that, my man. You have yourself a good night. And once again, man, next time I hope we get able to talk on some fun stuff rather than always tragedies.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chad.
It's crazy. We got more to talk about this tonight. A lot of stuff to get to, including movies. We'll lighten it up here at the bottom of the hour. It's the Chad Benson Show.
How the hell does that happen?
That just might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard, ever.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
It is the Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. Again, horrible day today in Fort Lauderdale. Another shooting. More and more is coming out, slowly but surely. You know, we've got some witnesses on the plane that said that maybe he was in some sort of confrontation on the plane that could have triggered something. Again, over the next 48 hours, 72 hours, more and more stuff will come together. The puzzle pieces will fit together. Was this the greatest lone wolf ever, where he pretended to hear voices and ISIS really was somebody he was, you know, rooting for and caring for and wanting to be a part of? Or was he mentally disturbed? Questions that need to be answered. I don't know. And by the way, everybody's been saying he was in Iraq. He didn't have any, you don't know if he had any kind of action or not. Well, they're reporting that he did actually see military action, and he has a combat action battle as well, medal. And so it is, apparently he did see some. So, you know, we don't know. We don't know. But it is a tragedy again, and it's unfortunate that in this day and age that we have to, you know, be talking about this once every 4, 5, 6 weeks. But in this day and age, we're also, I think, becoming somewhat desensitized to things like this. It is. It's, you know, it's we see it. We hear it. You know, you turn on the television. It's a sad, sad, sad situation. But at the same time, we can't let it be the dominating factor in our lives of whether or not we're going to travel, whether or not we're going to go anywhere, whether or not we're going to do anything. Sometimes bad things happen. That's the truth. And it's very unfortunate. And this is one of those situations where, again, a very ugly situation, a very horrible situation Florida's dealing with just over 6 months after what took place, you know, at the Pulse nightclub. And over the next 48 hours or so, as we learn more and more about the family and its history, we'll find out if maybe this was a situation where somebody should have stepped up and been more of a vocal supporter in this guy if he had mental illness and talked about getting him true help and really also stepped up in the sense of making sure that he didn't have any weapons. But we don't know any of those things. We won't know for a while. We'll get some of the puzzle pieces, and we'll be able to suss a lot of it out, but the final stuff will come, you know, weeks and months away from now. The one thing that's differing than all of the others, as we talked to Tony Marino from WDBO a little while ago, is he's alive. He surrendered after his ammo ran out, and he's alive and unharmed, so we'll get to the bottom of it, at least what was in his mind as we go. But we don't know all the puzzle pieces. We just know that 8 people were shot and are fighting for their lives. 5 others were shot and aren't fighting for their lives anymore because they were killed. And it's a tragic day. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. Movies, lots of movies, including a great one I want to see. Blake Stubbs joins us next. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It is the Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your Friday. This weekend, you know, you may want to go out. You may want to venture out this weekend. And what you'll learn here in the Chad Benson Show is I like sports and I love movies. But I'm a popcorn movie guy. Know this. I rarely will see a movie that's super artsy. But luckily for me, our movie reviewer likes to see lots of movies, not just the popcorn movie, but also the artsy ones that win a lot of the awards. Blake Stubbs joins us now. Now, Blake, last night you went and saw a movie that I will see that is potentially a little bit artsy, but in a lot of ways it is a feel-good Disney movie that I have never really seen from Disney, and it is called Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures, yes, which stars Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, who is an Oscar winner and nominated for a Golden Globe this year as of, you know, going into this weekend.
She won that for The Help, right?
She won that for The Help, yes. Jim Parsons has a part in this. Kevin Costner is in this movie. There's a big name. Kirsten Dunst. And then the big surprise for me was Janelle Monáe, who is a singer predominantly. You know, most people only know her as a singer. And what a breakout role for her. You know, I see a bright future for her as an actress.
And this is a movie. It's based on a true story. Back in the day when we were racing with the Russians to try to get people into space. And you've got 3 African-American women who transcended race and transcended the fact that they were also women. It wasn't just even about being black. It was about being a woman in these days. And to help spear And really, you know, we're in the forefront of helping people get there and working for NASA.
Correct. And all three with unique talents that found them in different departments. So within this film, you have three unique stories around these three central characters. And then them sort of transitioning into these new assignments and then trying to transcend, you know, the societal restraints, the racial segregation, the mentality, you know, of the people around them, which it's a predominantly white company, you know, it's NASA. But they were part of a core group of women who were just known as computers. All they did was calculate, and they found their unique talents put them in new, unique situations. And so, doing that, they had to adapt, they had to trailblaze, they had to do all of these things. And they're all three characters that you just want to root for from start to finish.
And this is even about race too. We talked about, you know, as we talk big nowadays about women's equality and the whole nine yards. There's the women you had women in a special like tight pool away from the men in a special room. Then you had back then it was coloreds in a room. And it is so weird to look back, not just even about the race, but just how much we've evolved and changed.
It does. And the film really does sort of show how, you know, it took certain people to make big moves to break down barriers, and while it was a slow process and it was a battle, and it does showcase elements of what was going on with Dr. King and you know the protests at the lunch counters and things like that. But these women were trying to make sure that really in the end their passions were driving them to help get John Glenn, Alan Shepard, Gus Grissom into space. And they were not just going to let, you know, certain people tell them they can't help. They were going to help. And they had to trailblaze in their own way in each three unique, you know, types of obstacles they had to overcome. So you're rooting for them. You're cheering for them. You want them to succeed. And then by the end of it, you start to see change on a much bigger scale. And it had to do with all of their work. And that's a very good feeling when you come out of a film and look, hey, the script is great. The direction's great. The acting is just superb. I think this is one of those movies I'm telling people, go see it.
This is like one of those things we're going to cheer. And if you don't believe us, take a listen to this. This is Hidden Figures. Now check out a bit of the trailer.
You're a computer at NASA. They let women handle that sort of...
Yes, it's an uphill battle.
Yes, they let women do some things at NASA, Mr. Johnson. And it's not because we wear skirts. It's because we wear glasses.
We go from being our father's daughters to our husband's wives to our baby's mothers.
14 days, astronauts will be here for training. Everything we do can matter to their wives, to their children. I believe it's going to matter to the whole damn country.
My gals are ready. We can do the work.
That's John Glenn.
What do you ladies do for NASA?
Calculate launch and landing, sir.
Engineering. And I'm proud as the devil to be working with you.
How could you possibly be ugly, these white men?
It's equal rights. I have the right to see fine in Africa.
There's no protocol for women attending.
There's no protocol for a man circling the earth either, sir.
Every time we have a chance to get ahead, they move the finish line. Every time.
We all get there together, or we don't get there at all.
I can't wait to see it, and it's one of these movies where I know I'm going to be walking out, I'm going to be cheering. We're talking to Blake Stubbs, our movie guy, as we talk movies this weekend. Two other movies come out, more of a, you know, the Underworld Blood Wars. I'll go see that. I like the Underworld. Anytime I can see Kate Beckinsale wear full leather, there's no loss there in that, kids. And A Monster Calls, which is, you know, it's kind of like a movie about bullying, and it's you know, got Sigourney Weaver, Felicity Jones, Liam Neeson plays the voice of the monster. You know, it looks interesting, but it's not getting huge pub.
It's not. And I remember seeing a trailer for this several months back and thinking, wow, that looks really cool. You know, the effects look great. And it was a short teaser. So you only got a, you know, flash of images, and then you're like, okay, I'm intrigued. I haven't heard much, and I haven't heard a lot of hype. I know that Liam Neeson's work is supposed to be quite good. The young boy is supposed to be pretty solid. And, of course, Felicity Jones is riding high right now. I mean, Rogue One is one of the, you know, the movies to go see. And I'm glad that, you know, these are the type of, you know, stories we're telling in films, especially tackling the issue of bullying. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of animation elements of this. There's visual effects. You would think it would be a bigger draw. You'd think there'd be much more hype for a film.
But you know, it's one of those things where I've got a six-year-old, and is it too much for him? Which is the audience you may be reaching for. But and you're also dealing with certain elements, too, where you've got a terminally ill mother. You've got a little boy who's worried about bullying, this, that, and the other. He makes all these things. You've got so many different things to go into this that may be too much for kids. But unfortunately, this is kind of where you're playing it for is for
right.
kids.
Well, and in some way, maybe because of all these elements, it's sort of pigeonholing itself in its demographic. You know, like who really is this movie made for? Well, it's a much smaller audience than, say, the likes of Hidden Figures or Cars or Sing.
Yeah.
You know, Sing right now, which is currently playing, which is an animated musical, you know, which is supposed to get you up, get you singing, having fun, and humming the tunes when you walk out. So, you know, maybe this is one of those films that later in the year, there's going to be – it's one of the dark horses people are going to talk about, like, well after it's played, didn't make a ton of money, but then it might do pretty well in DVD, Blu-ray type sales and streaming, things like that. And it might end up on some critic lists at
we'll,
that rate.
We'll see. Talking to Blake Stubbs, our movie guy, as we move on from there, this weekend's a big weekend in Los Angeles. It is the Golden Globes. I'm looking at some of these movies. I've seen, like, you know, some of the things that, and again, the Golden Globes are much different. You've got musical and comedy. You've got, you know, it's more than just one category. They've spread it out. But some of the movies that are going to be out there, and Hell or High Water. You've seen Hell or High Water.
Hell or High
I
Water.
I really
is...
want to see that. That's kind of like a Robin Hood for modern times in some ways.
And it really is. People who did see it, you know, because it did have sort of a limited release and it had a small wide release and then it was gone. For those that did see it, it ends up on a lot of top movie of the year lists. And so I'm glad that now that we're in the height of awards season, no one's forgotten that film.
No.
That's the movie you need to see when you get a chance to see it.
Now, this is nominated, and they talked about it for days. They talked about it for months. Manchester by the Sea. Now, producer Anthony went and saw it, and his words were, I wanted to go home and slip my wrist because it's slow, it's dull, it's an acting kind of movie. There's lots of emotion. But it's not one of those, I'm leaving the movie Hidden Figures feeling better about who I am.
Right. Well, Manchester by the Sea deals with loss. It deals with accepting new responsibilities that, you know, no one expected to have to inherit. And it's about relationships, interfamily relationships. And so, you know, growing up, when you've tried to avoid growing up and then realizing you have to do it rapidly and then all of the pitfalls and struggles that come along with that while you still have to be an example to someone else. Casey Affleck, you know, a lot of people are talking about Casey Affleck and that's a really a great name that isn't his brother. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's trying to separate himself from being Ben's
brother.
He's
got better acting chops than his brother.
He's always had great acting chops. And you know, there's elements about that. Even I believe Ben was even quoted as saying in an article I read recently where, you know, after he made the Joaquin Phoenix, you know, documentary that everybody thought was real, but it wasn't. And it really miffed a lot of people. That sort of hurt his career as an actor because people didn't want to work with him. They were so hurt by that, you know, by what went on.
Yeah, that sexual harassment.
Yeah, yes. And when you get into something like Manchester by the Sea, you know, this feels much more like a more independent film that, you know, was funded by people who wanted to tell a great story. And Casey Affleck spearheaded getting this made. And so him being in the film, having a passion for it, it translates to audiences who have seen it. And so I'm not surprised at all that this movie is getting the play that it is come awards season because it is one of those really deep dramas that deals with inner struggle, external struggle. I know that it's not something everybody's going to buy a ticket to go see.
No. Now, I've seen Sing, and I took my son to see Sing. We walked out. He looked at me, and he's a huge Star Wars fan, and he saw Star Wars with his mom and his family on Christmas night. And he says, Dad, I loved. He goes, I like Star Wars, but I love Sing. And you know what's funny? For an animation and everybody thinks it's a music, it's not really. They only sing when they're on stage. They don't sing anywhere else. And it was a great. Deadpool is up for stuff. Deadpool, I love Deadpool. I absolutely love Deadpool.
I don't know anybody who saw Deadpool and didn't immediately love it. And I think that's a true testament to trying to, you know, over many years, almost a decade, trying to get the movie made. You got Ryan Reynolds, you know, who is one of the most charismatic and likable actors to put on screen in
Absolutely.
Anything. And the only thing that, you know, a lot of people didn't like him in was Green Lantern. He rips on Green Lantern
in
Deadpool.
Just don't put me in one of those green, ugly
suits.
Green animated suits,
yes. So the charm and the unfiltered approach to how they made Deadpool was refreshing. It was neat. It was sort of an evolution in a way for comic book films. And I'm glad that it's getting a lot of the play that it should be getting. Because, look, you know, just because it's a big budget, R-rated, profane, violent film doesn't mean that it isn't good.
Yeah.
It can be good.
It can be
very good.
And it was.
And
it
this was one of them.
Jackie and La La Land. Do you think La La Land's going to win a lot of stuff this weekend?
I think La La Land is going to come out pretty big by the end of all of awards season. Damien Chazelle, who directed this and I believe wrote this as well, also did Whiplash with J.K. Simmons and Miles Teller in years past. And that was one of my favorite films. He has the mind, and you see it in his direction, to be a great theatrical-style director. I watched the first trailer for La La Land quite a while back, and I remember when it debuted, people were like, oh, this movie looks really cool. It's from Damien Chazelle. And I thought, oh, okay, yeah. It looks more like a state, like it has stage elements to it than even Whiplash did. And so I feel like, you know, the charm of Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, who is one of my favorite actresses to watch, period. She's just so fun and engaging with this storyteller, you know, this collaboration of all these elements coming together. And J.K. Simmons is in the film as well. I think it's going to have a good run during the entire awards season.
Absolutely. His name's Blake Stubb. He's our movie guy. Those are the movies this weekend. If you're going to get out there and you want to escape for 90 minutes, you know what? For the first time in a long time, Hidden Figures or Underworld, either one of them. The guys, we know what you're going to want to see. But you know what? I'm thinking Hidden Figures this weekend. Blake, as always, appreciate you having on.
Thanks, Chad Benson Show
Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Wrapping it up. Been a solid, fun week. Busy week. Don't want to end on a Debbie Downer. Again, more stuff will come out about the shooting in Fort Lauderdale over the next couple days. And as we put a wrap and a big bow on this week, again, Donald Trump, 2 weeks from today, is going to be president of the United States. He will no longer be president-elect. He will be president of the United States. And he's now at least owning up to the fact that Russia and maybe Putin had something to do with this, but it didn't matter, right? Didn't influence it. It influenced. It did this. There was no hacking of election machines. Nothing was changed. It was information that many people already thought in their mind that this was true, and it was just validated. That's it. That's it. We'll see how they do on the repealing of Obamacare, and you know. And also what's going to take place when it comes to not only, you know, Planned Parenthood, but on top of all of those things, the wall. He's saying that, you know, we're going to build the wall and we may pay for it at first, but we'll invoice essentially Mexico for that. So we'll see. We'll see. This weekend, as you can hear, lots of good movies. There's also lots of football on. And, you know, my love of the football. Raiders are in the playoffs for the first time in like 500 years. And they take on Oakland. If this was the Raiders and Derek Carr, it'd be a slam dunk. But Derek Carr, their potential MVP candidate, broke his leg. Franchise quarterback, I think, in many ways. And he is going to be out till next season. Matt McGloin, their backup, is hurt, so he's out. So now you're going with a person who's never started an NFL game, who's a rookie, and will be making his first start in the playoffs. Fortunately for the Raiders tomorrow, they're taking on the Houston Texans, who, for all of their amazing defense, struggle at offense, despite the fact that they spent a boatload of money on Brock Osweiler. I think the matchup that the Raiders could have hoped for to get through this round is this one. My prediction is tomorrow the Raiders sneak one out in Houston. In Houston. We move from there to tomorrow night's game, Detroit taking on Seattle. Detroit's had a good year. Hell of the cardiac kids. They've come back numerous occasions. I love it. I'm going to be watching this game, but they're in Seattle, and it's tough, man. It's tough. The one thing is, this isn't the Seattle from 2, 3, 4 years ago. They've got injuries. Some players have left. They don't look the same each week. You know, they just don't look that same team. But even as inconsistent as they are, I just don't think Detroit has the firepower, the manpower. And I still think that, you know, you're looking at a team that, if for all intents and purposes, really willed themselves to get here. And tomorrow, I think Seattle will take care of that. You move on to Sunday. Games are interesting Sunday. You got Miami taking on Pittsburgh. Miami's had a great year. Once again, fantastic year. I didn't think Miami'd be here, but they're here. And they're taking on Pittsburgh. And their running back, Miami's running back has run rough shot, but this is Pittsburgh at home in the cold. Roethlisberger, it's not going to happen. I think Pittsburgh wins this one like 30-18. I think they're going to cover. It's going to be a good game for Pittsburgh. And on they go to take on New England next week. Then you move to the game of the week, which I'm super excited. It is the last game. It is Sunday. It is 4 p.m. on the Pacific. I think it's 7 p.m. on the East Coast. It is New York. It is Green Bay. It is the only two teams in the NFC, I think, who can beat Dallas. And unfortunately, they're playing each other. And one of them will have to go away. Aaron Rodgers is on fire. Eli Manning seems to come alive at this time. You've got a dynamic offense when it comes to, Odell Beckham and the receiving crew of this amazing New York Giants team. But do they have the defense to do it? Especially when you look at what they've got on the other side, which is frightening. Frightening. I'm excited about this game. It's going to be amazing. It'll be a seesaw battle. But eventually, Aaron Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, these guys, and they've got the guy with the best name. His first name is Geronimo. I think it's Geronimo Anthony. The guy's a freak. I think they win this one eventually in a shootout like 40 to 34, something like that. But they're going to win this one. Solid, fun week. Phil, a quick reminder, who do the Redskins play this weekend?
Yeah, thanks. Have a great weekend, Chad.
Fantastic. Solid, fun week it was. I want to thank Phil for kicking ass and being there for me. My man Anthony doing the same thing in the Czar and Blake getting everything set up on our Facebook Live, which will be ever-changing over the next couple weeks as we add some stuff to it. But have an amazing weekend. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, Chad Benson Show. You can text the show all the time, 323-538-2423. Have a safe, amazing weekend. Get through the weather. It's going to be nasty across the country. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.